بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح من تزكى. Allah Ta'ala declares that the one that has purified himself, he has won. This whole life is about winning. يوم يجمعكم ليوم الجمع ذلك يوم التغابن. When we will all be assembled on the day of Qiyamah, then there's going to be someone that's going to be winning and someone that's going to be losing. As the books are presented to people, Jibreel al-Islam will announce, this is the person, son of so-and-so, and his books are right, so for him is eternal goodness. So you can imagine the extent of goodness, happiness on that occasion. When it's announced now, this eternal goodness. You get a certificate or a diploma at the end of a course or a career, profession, right? There's a degree of happiness. But it's not a guarantee that you will be happy. Maybe you live to see it, maybe you don't live to see it. Maybe in some respects you're happy, some respects you're not happy. Maybe you've made the money, but your children went off. So there's a lot of pros and cons, whether you have definitely won or you haven't won. You have gained or you haven't gained. Har jeet, taghabun, har jeet. Someone is winning, someone is losing. From that day when Jibreel Islam has announced so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, and he has won, then it's eternal. Then there is no reversing. There's no turning away from that. But the precondition for this is قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. مَنْ تَزَكَّى. You must purify yourself. Clean yourself. So you purified yourself, you have conformed to the agreement, you have conformed to the condition. Purify. But now this purification, what does it entail? When we talk of purification, we think about it, paki, napaki, that's all our mind is confined to that. But according to the ulama-i kiram, there are four levels of purification. The one level of purification is the apparent. Right? This is one level. It is not all the purification, it is a level of purification. So the apparent will require the cleanliness of the body, the cleanliness of the clothing, and the cleanliness of the place that you are performing the namaz. For your namaz to be valid, your body, your clothing, and the spot that you are performing the namaz, these three are pure and clean, then your namaz is valid. And one of these three things are not clean, then your namaz is invalid. People living in the village of Quba, Nabi Samad had come from Makkah Mukarrama, migrating to Medina Munawara, so he had stopped over a few days at Quba. The rivalry of the Sahaba Ikram was who could do more. When the people of Medina heard that the people at Makkah Mukarrama, in the Taraweeh Salah, they make a tawaf after every Tarweeha. Tarweeha is four rakats. You know, after four rakats, you sit down, you relax a little bit, and then you read the next four rakats. So that interval is called a Tarweeha, because you're supposed to be relaxing at that time. Now the people of Makkah are thinking, it's the month of Ramadan, why must we let the time go? Lest we exploit the opportunity, make one tawaf. And now we will think, hey, you know, this is an interval. He brought kahwa, I must bring chai. I must bring chai Soleimani. The rivalry, although the rivalry is the stomach. I think our South Africans, they may get into jannat because of the mujahada of the stomach. eat samosa, half moon, and then what? Maybe because of the mujahada, Allah Pak will feel sorry for us. So much of mujahada on the stomach. This type of chutney and that type of ice cream, and that type of... Ramadan kuch khane ka mahina hai? Ya na khane ka mahina hai? There's so much of varieties, you don't know what to eat, what not to eat. Nonetheless, so the people of Medina got to know that the people of Makkah, this is what they are doing. Now for them to go to Makkah and make a tawaf after every tarbiyah, impossible, they can't do it. Unless by way of karamat or something, but under normal circumstances, you can't do it. But then they thought to themselves, "But we need to do something about this. We can't just let it go like that. They're doing it, we need to do something. They are, you know, overtaking us to Jannah." So that was the whole focus of the Sahaba Ikram, this overtaking. Sabiqu ila maghfiratin. Sari'u. He's doing so much, I must try and compete. So everybody wants to get to Jannah, but in the good, in the best time, in the best condition. So that was the race about. Allah give us that understanding. Our race is now, hey, you got this investment, Amana, so I must get something else. Oasis. For Oasis, I must get Al-Baraka. What are the returns here? 8%. What are the returns here? 10%. How secure this is? Very secure. So that's the whole competition about. And the competition was totally different, the nature of it. You know, what you have done, I must do something more. How much khatam you have made, I must do something more than that. You have seen to so many poor, I must do more than what you have done. You have fed so many people, I will do so much more. Your heart is so clean, my heart must be even cleaner than yours. So two awliya are discussing. So the one is saying, if I don't have food, I make sabr. And if I do have the food, I make shukr. See, you are only there. My position is, when I have the food, when I don't have the food, then I say shukr. When I do have it, then I pass it on. See, the competition is different. The nature of the competition is different. And the nature of all competition is different. Nature of all competition, if we got it, then we won't have just ordinary tea. We have something better than that. Some machine to make tea or coffee or something more. That's our competition. And their competition was different. All right, you could feed so many people, you could do this, I'll do so much more. That was the nature of the competition. You could forgive so much, I'll forgive even more. You could free so many slaves, I'll free so many more slaves. And this spirit carried on. Even this Mughal kings, they would say that maaf karne mein jo maza aata hai, to intiqam lene mein is qadar maza nahi aata. You know, the enjoyment that we get in making someone maaf far exceeds the enjoyment of retaliating and revenging. So I got you now under control. I can smash you up. But the enjoyment that I get in making you maaf is far in excess of the enjoyment of retaliating. See how they work. So one of these kings, he asked one of his close attendants to call his son also. Young son, 4 or 5 years of age, doesn't know much, 3 or 4 years of age. So the son came around, and now it is a habit that we see small children want to amuse yourself, take out his topi or do something, blindfold him or something. You want to amuse yourself with a child. So he must have done something, pulled out his topi or something, so the child swore him. So the attendant got very, very scared. What's going to happen now? Use some languages here, what's going to happen? The king in the meanwhile, what he said, alright, so for the swearing, we're going to give him a yearly reward. Every year, he's going to get so many, 1 million for the swear, and call him Ataya, something about swearing, right? But this bakshish you're getting is because of your swear. See, because of your swearing and using these languages, we're giving you this bakshish. So they look at things differently, we look at it differently. Say, you know, this child, no discipline, no manners, no respect, and he doesn't know how to carry on. And in the presence of all my attendants and my court, and then this is how he conducts himself. You never teach him anything. This is what he expected. But how he turned around, he said, no, no. For this child to behave in this manner, we give something. Yearly, we'll give him a yearly present. So their whole outlook was different. Right. So now the Sahaba Kiram migrating from Makkah Mukarrama, coming to Medina Munawwara, and they are thinking and reminiscing, they're living their life in Makkah Mukarrama. Makkah Mukarrama, whenever you want, night or day, make tawaf, make umrah, Ramadan, then you're getting one Hajj with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that amount of sawab. Now we are in Makkah, we are in Medina Munawwara, we can't get the sawab. What do we do? So they were told that you see, you make wuzu in your home and go to Quba on foot or on mount, then you get the sawab equivalent to one umrah. So compensating. See? So you can see Allah is saying, alright, these people are really remorseful that they left Makkah Mukarrama, they came out to live here, and they can't get the sawab of that umrah. So something in place of it. Make a wuzu at home in Medina, move on to Quba on foot or on mount, perform two rakat namaz and come back, tawa, you got your umrah sawab. So this was the whole obsession in the Sahaba Kiram. How must we excel? Alright. You know, where can I get an opportunity? This person did so much, what can I do? So anyway, a verse was revealed, فِيهِ رِجَالُ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُ. With respect to the people of Quba, this verse was revealed, therein are a people who love to be pure. And to crown it all, Allah Pak is saying, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّهِرِينَ. Allah Pak loves them. Imagine if Allah Pak says, I love you. Pure all kya chahiye? What else you need? The whole, our whole exercise, our whole mehnat is, Allah Pak must just endorse, I love you. Say, hey, up to, I got no figure in the world now. Allah Pak stamped it. He already endorsed it now, finished. I got what I wanted. So the people of Quba got this endorsement from Nabi, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I love you. Highest, nobody above Allah ta'ala. Allah Pak endorsed it. So that is a perpetual endorsement. No reversing. Because Allah ta'ala's knowledge is all encompassing. Muhit. He encompasses all times, all places, all people. So he encompasses everything. He knows what's the future of the person, what is the past of the person, what is the present of the person. He knows everything. And he endorsed that, I love you, finished, class. It's the end. Then that's perpetual. So they were asked, by, what are you doing? You know, for Allah Ta'ala to give you this type of an endorsement, this type of a confirmation, nobody gets it. Very few people get it. And what are you doing that you earn this type of an endorsement, this type of a confirmation? So the Sahaba Kiram were very humble people. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know much what we're doing. But if it is with respect to purity, etc., the only thing we know of, we may be doing that is additional than normal, we wash after we go to toilet. The norm is that you use sand cloths and thereafter you wash, right? When we were in India, then that style still existed at that time. They used to have like two containers, one clean pot of clean sand cloths, and then the one that was used, you put into another container. So this thing was then many places, not all places, but you used to still see it. Now it's out. Now the toilet paper has replaced it. Though the sand cloths, it's proven scientifically is more hygienic, better than the toilet paper, right? Alright, we find it a little bit difficult to do this. Everything else, we got the time. But for this, we find it a little bit difficult. Anyway, so they won't just confine just to the use of the sand cloths, but they will wash also after that. So it's double. So Allah Ta'ala endorsed His muhabbat for them for this reason. Allah يحب المطهرين. So, the concept of cleanliness by us is quite different to the concept of cleanliness in others. In others, the concept of cleanliness is you must look clean. There mustn't be any visible impurity on your body. That's the concept of purity. And our concept of purity is quite different. See, like the West, whites, etc., the concept of purity is totally different. So they may not wash, right? If it is they are bathing once a week or twice a week, they're not going to wash the back, right? But the day they need to wash themselves, what they will do, they fill the whole tub, and with all that polish on the back, they're diving inside, the same water is going into the nostril, into the mouth, and say, so pure I am, so clean. So what is he taking inside? What is he breathing? So their concept of purity is totally different to our concept of purity. They don't wash the front, they don't wash the back, nothing. They're going all inside, diving in, inhaling that water, drinking that water and coming out. So they feel clean because they seem to be clean, they feel they are clean, pure. Because they don't have that concept of purity. So many years ago, I was a child, about 10, 11 years of age. So my nana's shop, Ijusen, there was some sale somewhere around there. So there was a big queue from one end of the street to another street. I'm small, I'm just looking at the queue, seeing what's going on there. So I see a white woman, maybe 19, 20 years of age, she's got a dog, right? So that dog messed up. As it messed up now, the dog obviously is going to lick that place to get it clean, right? It'll take a U-turn, right? You know, you go behind, go and wash, clean up with his tongue. This white girl, she's licking an ice cream. One time she's licking, she says, now there's equality, so the dog must lick. Dog is licking one side of the ice cream, one side of the back. One time, this one is licking. Everything is working. Everything is working. So they got no concept of purity. But forget it. Paki, napaki, they got no concept. So if we fall for them, we're just falling for the looks. Beside the look is nothing. There's no concept of purity, cleanliness, absolutely tara, nothing. Absolutely nothing. They don't know what it is. It doesn't exist in them. So, Wallahu yuhibbul mutahhirin. So, Allah Ta'ala loves those that are pure. Now, this aspects of purity, let us say, see, we're living in a minority, we're looking at these people because they dress up smart, they look smart, so we get impressed. But we don't realize that we are suffering from a complex, inferiority. Right. You know, when I was studying hadith at the beginning, 75, 76, studying hadith, so we came across the hadith before Qiyamah, Kasiyatin Aryatin. One will be wearing clothing, but they will be naked. Now, at that time, Abu Ustadh used to have difficulty in explaining the hadith. What do you mean by clothed but naked? Someone is clothed but naked. Now, I don't think they will have any difficulty to understand what the hadith is expressing. Because they're dressed up in that type of clothing that every shape of the body is revealing. The breast is revealing, the thighs, everything, exactly, the exact shape is showing out. It's just like the cloth is like a skin that is over the skin. So the whole body is shaping, showing out. So kasiyatin aryatin is a direct translation, direct what is being predicted by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, exact prediction. They're wearing clothes, but they're naked. You can see everything. What's there that you can't see in that woman? Then our stupid woman, they begin to wear that type of clothing, that type of jeans, that type of tops. I said, what's wrong? If we wear it, we are covered. And the worst thing was, one friend of mine was saying he was traveling to Joburg, so somewhere in between, he had to stop over to one garage or something. Small place, they were reading namaz. You saw one girl there, reading namaz. And that body hugging clothing, and she's reading namaz. She's got a scarf, and the whole body is revealing. Every aspect of the body, you could see the back, you could see the breast, everything, all the shapes, everything, you could see it. And in this type of clothing, she was performing namaz. Now, I asked you, is this namaz? Or is it a display of your whole body? The whole body is showing our body. You're going for sajda, that type of woman, and you're afraid if something just bursts in the back, what's going to happen? So is this now, what is the meaning of parda? You're defeating the whole purpose. The whole purpose of parda is being defeated. And it's coming from this point that we take them as our imam. they are our imam. Whatever they do, that looks nice. And whatever our Nabi Sam did, that looks old-fashioned. Na'uzu billah. That's all outdated. What they do, this, they're the imam. They must lead. Whereas such women are cursed. With the shabbihat, they're resembling, they're imitating men. Resembling men, imitating men, women that are imitating men, men that are imitating women. They're all under curse all the time. That they're wearing that type of clothing, whether in their homes, out of their homes, but they're resembling women, women resembling men, men resembling women. They are being under curse all the time. Mutashabbihatim minan nisai birrijal. Women imitating men, men imitating women. Now we don't consider it as a serious, no, my body is covered. But your body is covered, that's not parda. Parda is, no part of your body must be revealing. The jilbab is worn, you know, now we call it abaya or whatever, right? But the description that they give in the kitab is that it must be from the head, coming to the shoulders, the bosom is all covered. Bosom, right till about the stomach, from the top. That's only possible in this old-fashioned oni. Now this woman that are wearing, they're not wearing that oni, what they're wearing? They're wearing the scarf only. So all this is showing. The bosom is showing out, the stomach is showing out, every part of the body is revealing. So many times they ask, Hafiza or Qari'a or an Alima, is she wearing the right clothing? Her body is revealing as well. Right? So the right clothing is what was worn by your Nanima or Dadima, provided she's over 80, 90 years. Not the Nanima that is about 50 years. Yeah? Because she's also none the better. You know, one friend of mine was telling me that he went for a, his cousin or someone went for a proposal. I'm showing you real facts. And for a proposal, so like they have a norm now, they bring their tea and all that, present it to the boy. So the boy is sitting there and he's going to be looking at the girl that is, you know, the suitor, like. So he's looking perplexed, not very sure, not clear. This is not the girl that I thought of and I saw. In the meanwhile, while that commotion is coming up, the mother-in-law came in. This was the one that I saw. So the mother was acting with a greater appeal, a greater sexual appeal than this young, innocent daughter of hers. So she is dressed up like that. And this is, you may take it as a joke, but really it's a genuine problem. Because see, what's going on in the young people's minds, they will not reveal it to their mothers. They will not explain that to their fathers. But definitely they will come and tell us what's going on. Young boys, 16, 17, 18, and they see their mothers and their sisters in that type of clothing, right? All revealing clothing, revealing, right? Tight, revealing, got an appeal. And they say, we have touched, or we are on the verge of touching. The back, or the front, we are on the verge of touching this. Now that, again, then it transforms into hurmat and musara. Now your parents' nikah is all on the edge. All that's complication you have brought about. But who's brought about the complication is the parents. The parents are not supposed to be wearing that type of clothing, right? You need to wear some appealing clothing in the bedroom. Bedroom, whilst you have that intimacy, that's a different thing. But the moment you step out, then it's your children out there. And then in the day, you cannot avoid your cousins coming up, brother-in-law coming up, your cousins coming up, right? Or the attendant, the worker coming up, and he is seeing all these things. What the feelings in him are all dead, what? Ask yourself, he's a man after all, the feelings in him is all dead. So they're not supposed to be dressed up like that. It's a loose clothing, not body revealing, nothing is showing out. Or the Alima is doing the same thing, the Hafiza is doing the same thing, the Qariya is doing the same thing. So the clothing must be such that there is no reveal. It doesn't reveal anything. Right? Nothing is showing out. Like I say, an easy examination is take your Dadima's clothing, right? That's over 80, 90, right? Look at her clothing and look at one of these girls under 50. Look at her clothing. Under 60, look at the clothing. See, there's a marked difference. This one here, there is no appeal. This one here, there's an appeal in this type of clothing. The front is showing out, the back is showing out, the whole body contour is showing out. Now these young children, they can't marry, they're 15 years of age, but they're getting tempted. And they say, you say to them that they can't marry. So then they have to wait for another 7 years, they must see all these things here. And how much must they resist? Now you get complaints, young girls. And the mothers are clothing them in that style. Young children, the mothers are clothing them in that style, right? When they're clothing them in that style, then sometimes their brothers are touching them. Sometimes their fathers are touching them with that type of feeling. And sometimes the grandfather is touching them. It's first time, I'm telling you first hand, right? Where a man comes and tells me, this is what my father did to my child. But then I say, you also to be blamed because you're putting on that type of clothing for your grandchild. When you're putting on that type of clothing, he's got an appeal. When he's got an appeal in him, he's touching with that type of feeling. Now, are you also party of the blame or not? Now the grandfather is dead and gone in the grave, but that granddaughter, she remembers, this is what my grandfather did to me. She, instead of making Isal a sawab, she's making Lanat. This man, this is what he did to me. But you see where it's starting from? By that simple clothing. Simple clothing, she will do it for husband in the bedroom, khalas. Out of the bedroom, then you are a normal woman. You don't have to keep having that appeal all the time. That's madness then. You're exposing yourself to danger, exposing yourself to hurmat and musarat. The nikah will be on the edges now, be broken down. So we can't take these people as an imam. They don't have the concept of purity. They don't have the concept of shame. Shame doesn't exist. Shame doesn't exist. Like in their society, etc. To take a second wife is very shameful. It's very disgusting, very awful, second wife. But to be flirting and playing around and dancing with 100 women is alright. Perfectly acceptable culture. So they don't have any concept of purity, shame, etc. The whole concept, the understanding is totally different. Diametrically opposite to the Quran Sharif. But the Quran Sharif, are these things absolutely different. They don't have that. So we can't be imitating them in the dressing, in the shame, aspects of shame and haya, impure. We can't be imitating them. So we're talking about the outer purity. I spoke about one aspect, right? The other aspect is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is passing by and there's two graves on either side, perhaps, right? And he says, Annahuma yu'adhaban. Both of them are under problems. They're going to trouble. There is Dafantumul Yom. Who did you bury today? So obviously they were Muslims. Because he's speaking to the Sahaba. When he's speaking to the Sahaba, who did you bury today? So both of them are catching trouble now. They're in trouble now. They just buried now. The people of the Ummah still crying. And they're in problems here. What happened? Why is this person being punished? Kana la yastanzihu minal bowl. This person here didn't take care of his urine. Right. So perhaps he must have been standing and urinating. And the splashes must have been coming back onto him. So he saw it now, number one. Number two, if you're standing and urinating, right, and you zip up after urinating, then there's going to be some residue in the passage still. And the residue is going to fall onto your pants. So either it's going to fall onto your pants before the namaz, or say, that before the wuzu, or after the wuzu. If it's falling onto your pants, onto your trouser before the wuzu, and it's considerable more than the circumference of a palm, that your namaz is not valid. And after the wuzu, that your wuzu is invalid. So both ways you're losing out. So you need to ensure that, alright, I urinated, I made pisab, all that pisab is gone. So you sat down, you raise yourself nicely, sat up and down, until you're quite sure now everything is gone. After you clean up nicely, then you make wuzu. You can't just zip up straight away and make wuzu straight away. But by way of analogy, there's another lesson that we need to understand here. That urine, because of that urine drop, not being not careful about it, and is getting problems in the grave. Right? Now, it is a style to be sitting on a high pan. Right? That's the style now. Why? Because that's your imam. That kafir is your imam. Whatever he does, that's the right thing. That's the way you must go. Right? One is the person is excused, he can't manage. It's a different thing. But we can't make these people imam. We need to train our children to use that eastern pan, that they make istinja in the correct way. When everybody becomes excused, Who will be normal then? Now, what we feel is that someone is on the high pen and he's very high. No, he's not high. He's far from high. You need to be feeling sorry about the person. He can't bend down properly. Right? But now, I say there was a problem this, sitting on the high pen, sitting, with the urine, standing up. The urine was a problem. But I ask you, in this high pen, isn't there a problem? Because that mess is going down, 9 out of 10 that thing is splashing, soiling your clothing or your body. And who would take the trouble to go and wash all that place? Who's going to take all that precaution to ensure that thing is not splashing up again? Now that it's splashed up, it missed your body. Now that water was even worse than that urine. Because this is number 2, is going, falling down onto that water. That water is getting soiled, it's coming back onto your clothing, or going back onto your body. Then you're making wuzu, rushing up to make wuzu and rushing in for namaz. So how can your namaz be valid then? So like this person was in problems because of not taking care of the urine, I ask you that when this is worse than urine splashes, then aren't you creating problems for yourself? فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَنْزِهُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ. And the second person, he was in problems, getting punished for what? كَانَ يَمْشِي بِن نَمِيمَةِ. He used to carry tails. يَاكِبَاتْ وَا وَاكِبَاتْ either to create friction, to create dissension, division within Muslims. So that was his job. That's what he was getting enjoyment out of. Need to create a dissension, division, break the Muslims, right? So now it's become so easy. People have become professional at that time. You've got social media groups. And the whole panchayat here is moving on here. And that one, that thing is becoming viral. The whole world comes to know about this person's panchayat. In the meanwhile, nobody went and verified whether that information is right or not right. Is it an exaggeration or is it exact what he's saying? Is it something that we're supposed to be knowing or not knowing? Is it his private life between him and Allah Ta'ala? Everything any person does, you just make it viral. So I ask you, is that not namima, carrying tails? The media was doing this all the time. The newspapers were doing this, carrying tails everywhere, right? But now everybody is doing the work of the media. Every person is doing the work of the media. It is you receiving it or you sending it out. The person that is receiving it, he feels I'm innocent, I'm not doing it. You receiving it, you are a passive participant. Because you want that type of information to come, right? And you're reading it, and you say, astaghfirullah, what they got there? How they can talk? But you're listening to it all the time. You're reading it all the time. So can you say that you are not guilty of the crime? I think this year, so I was speaking about this, So one alim came to me after a day or 2 days, had a lot of big difficulty. So what happened? He said, I'm linked up to this app or whatever, all these groups, so many groups I've linked up. I'm so busy, I have to send and I have to receive and all this. With difficulty, I was doing 2 sibara in the day. And a good hafiz, you can read once Quran Sharif in a sitting. He says, I made up my mind, Ramadan, Barakat of Ramadan. And I made up my mind, I'm going to throw this thing here. The day he left, he said, comfortably, asani ke saad, 20 sipara maine khatam kiya. I did 20 siparas in that single day. I just threw this thing here. So I ask you, is this not a shaitan? Shaitan is the thing that diverts you from Allah Ta'ala. He turns you away from Allah Ta'ala. So this is exactly the work of shaitan. He says, I left the thing, the day I left it, I did comfortably, without difficulty. Here, with difficulty, I was doing 2 sipara. And the same day that I left it, itminan ke saad, I did 20 sipara. No exaggeration, this is what he said exactly. Now, before you should say granny's tales. Now, everybody became grannies. They used to do the panchayat, we left it for them. Now, everybody is doing the same thing. So, in this whole exercise, what happens is, I am looking at your problems, the flaws in your life, but I am leaving out the hadith which says, وَبْكِي عَلَىٰ خَطِيَةِ, cry over your own sins. You can cry over your sins when you're looking within yourself. When you're examining yourself, then will you cry over your sins? Or are you examining that person and he's this person here and that person? When will you get the time to look at your own self, introspect, like they say? When are you going to be looking at yourself? لَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. You're not going to be asked about their deeds. So why are you so involved in them? Why are you getting consumed in them? Yeah, the problems in yourself, you're going to be definitely asked. So this is the second hadith that I'm explaining today. Third hadith, again about taharat, right? So, Rasulullah's style, what is his style? يَدْنُو مِنَ الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ صَوْبَهُ. That he won't just pull out the pants immediately. Like, you know, one style of pulling out your pants when you're going to relieve yourself is you pull out your pants, hang it up, and then relieve yourself. That wasn't his style. His style was, as he's approaching the ground, then he's pulling out the pants. Whatever he needs to uncover, he's uncovering at that time, when he's coming near the ground. That means you are drawing out a lesson, a principle here. What is the lesson that you're learning? الضَّرُورَةُ يَتَقَدَّرُ بِقَدْرِ الضَّرُورِ. Right? It was not right for you to undress, right? It was not right for you to undress. But at the point of need, you can undress. Right? Normal circumstance, it was not right of you to undress. Now, it's become a style within our people. You got your boxer shorts, and you hold it around the house, you're going around with the boxer shorts, with the knicker around the house. Is that right? Is it in conformity with the sunnah? I ask you, is that right? On hot day, garmi lage, very hot. With the knicker on, boxer shorts running around everywhere. Is that the right thing? It's not the style of Rabbi Salam. It's not that way. You only uncover at the point you need to uncover. After that, you cover up again. You went to the toilet at that point. See, he's coming down to the ground, then he's uncovering. He could have removed his pants and then gone to the ground, but he didn't do this. He went near the ground, then did he uncover himself. الدَّرُورَةُ يَتَقَدَّرُ بِقَدْرِ الدَّرُورَةُ. To the point of need, you would do it. Not after that. Now you may ask, what's the problem in that? If I uncover, what's the problem? See, that's the other problem that we keep asking, what's the problem? That the level of confidence that we need to have in our elders, we don't have it. So the problem in that is, when that woman is not dressed correctly, the man is not dressed correctly, then you got the malaika running away from you. You are undressed like that. So you can't expect the malaika to be on your side. And I asked you, at which point don't you need the companionship of the malaika? You need them at every second, you need them. They're making dua for you. Adkhilum jannat. Yeah. They're making dua, Allah Bak, send them to jannat. Allah Bak, forgive their sins. فَغْفِلْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Forgive them, forgive their children, their wives, mothers and fathers, send them all to jannat. They're making dua for you, whereas you don't do any good for them. They like you more than you, they like, more than you like them. They like you more than you like yourself. And then this is the treatment you give them. Say, no, like you go away, I don't need you now. Is that the treatment that they deserve? I used to see the good woman in our family, that even when they are asleep, they got the scarf on. The scarf is on, because they want the company of the malaika, even in that state. So, ثُمَّ يَدْنُو مِنَ الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ ثِيَابَهُ. Come close to the ground, and then, so I showed you the principle, that الدَّرُورَةُ يَتَقَدَّرُ بِقَدْرِ الزَّرُورَةِ. To the point of need, right? To the point of need, you are excused. You did something, but to the point of need. Now, for example, photography, right? Now, you need to go for Hajj, Faraz Hajj, whatever. Right? You need to go for that. Now, in order for you to go for Hajj, you need an ID. You need a passport. For you to get a passport, you need to take a photograph. Right? Right? Without that, you won't get your travel documents, you can't board the flight, you can't do your Hajj. So now, it was a need. So to the point of need, you can do it. But now, who will be responsible, who will be answerable for the sin? The one that is commanding you. وَمَا أَكْرَهْتَنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السِّحْرِ أَمْرُ السُّلْطَانِ إِكْرَامٌ. He commanded, now the sin is on him. He commanded, that he wanted it like this. So we did because it's your command. We got no other way to go and complete this obligatory hajj. We had no other way. You forced it to do it, so the guna is on your head. But just to that point, snaps not for show, display, album, etc. No, only for that. It was only, you were only allowed to do it to that point. But Hakim Sahib, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullahi, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with Noor. So, the day his respected family passed away, he asked for the ID documents, passport. Straight away, he tore all the photos. The moment he heard that she passed away, now the photo, I don't need to keep it as a memory. We kept it because of the point of need. Now the need is over, she's gone. The need is over, now I need to throw this in. See, that's called taqwa. That's called understanding of deen. That's called fiqh. مَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ بِي خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah will give you that understanding of deen. To the point of need, you kept it. The need is over, now you destroy it, throw it away. You need the company of the malaika, you need their du'as all the time. So this is the third lesson that you learn from this hadith. So this is the first level of purity, the outer purity, right? And I am saying it repeatedly, we don't need to keep these people as our imams. They fail themselves. They fail the world, they fail themselves. So you can't follow failures. Khasiru fi dunya wal akhirah. Allah Pak is saying they failed in this life and the akhirah they failed. So how can you keep failures as your imams? How can we feel inferior of ourselves? So that is the first level of purity. And I'm speaking about this shame quite some time now. Because I see the levels of shame is just deteriorating. And that shame and haya is such an important integral thing in our lives. Right? Such an integral thing in our lives. That from all the branches of faith, Nabi Sam in particular speaks about shame. Wal hayau shu'batun min al-iman. As though the understanding that you get, as though the thing that supports your iman is a shame. It's supportive of your iman. If that thing collapses, then in no time will your iman also collapse. Because there's no shame left in that person. He does something, he doesn't do it. There's no consciousness left in him. So for him to break bridges, cross the limits, for him is nothing. He's got no shame. But he's got some shame, some vestige of shame he's got. Then he'll remain straight. He won't break bridges, right? So the clothing I spoke about, not revealing, whether it's a young girl, whether it's a small girl, whether it's an adult, out of the bedroom life, out of the time of intimacy. Intimacy is finished, now dress appropriately. Correct yourself. Can't now have the woman naked all the time. Right? Intimacy is finished now. Finished, you wear your clothing, I wear my clothing. We need the company of the malaika all the time. So this is the first level of cleanliness. Now you come to the second level of cleanliness. The second level of cleanliness is we keep our organs and our faculties clear of sin. Eyes, ears, tongue, clear of sin. Pure, it's pure of sin. So the eyes is not looking at sinful things. Otherwise, now your eyes are impure. The impurity you can't perceive, but definitely the malaika can perceive. And sometimes the awliya also can perceive the impurity that's in your eye. That's why sometimes they don't want to see someone. Now he doesn't understand why they don't like seeing you. Because of the impurity they can see. They can see something. Sometimes it's an odor that's coming up. Sometimes it's something else that's coming up. But the effect of the sin, they can perceive it. And they don't want to embarrass you, so they don't tell you what's happening. Hazrat Usman al-Ghani radiyallahu anhu, some person came and been just looking at a girl with some lust. And he came to Usman al-Ghani radiyallahu anhu. So Usman al-Ghani couldn't tell him straight. Ma bal wa qawmin. Yatarashahuna min aynihim az-zina. As you can see, zina dripping from the eyes. So man just did that and came. Could see it. Could sense it. Could perceive it. Now you feel nauseous about the whole thing. It's so, the effect of the sin is so nauseating that you don't feel comfortable with that person. So sometimes the thing is showing from the eyes, sometimes from the ears, from the tongue, the evil that he's been doing is revealing. Right? So this is the second area that we need to keep clean at all times. The worst thing that we can do in this age, you know, one Arab Jamaat was here, so they asked me for some advice. So I said, Iqra'u al-Qur'an, recite the Qur'an Sharif. In this day, recite the Qur'an Sharif. Ahillu halalahu wa harrimu haramahu. Haram, consider it as haram. Believe it as haram. Halal, believe it as halal. Don't try and halalize. The majlis words, halalize. Don't halalize. Don't justify. What is haram? Haram. Interest, etc. Haram, just leave it as haram. Don't try and justify. Don't make a plan. You made a mistake, come out in the open, say Allah Ta'ala, I made a mistake. I accept my mistake. Abu laka bi ni'matika alayya wa abu bi dhanbi faghfirli. You know, you acknowledge your sin. Say Allah, I made a mistake. And I'm shameful about it. Allah, give me that tawfiq that I don't do this again. But you have that attitude. What's wrong? If I did this, what's wrong? Now that is something that Allah doesn't like. What's wrong? That's an attitude that is very close to shaitanic behavior. What's wrong? Ana khayrun min, I'm better, so what's wrong? If I didn't bow down, so what's wrong? So that's a shaitanic behavior. And the behavior of Adam is, Rabbana zalamna anfusana, I messed up, I wronged, I accept I made a mistake. That's Adami behavior, this is shaitani behavior. And this is so great in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, you accept the wrong as wrong. There was a funeral now, I think on the 28th of Ramadan, you know. Someone passed away, I think Shabir Budani or someone, his father passed away. Someone is telling me that Hilal never seen such a big crowd at a janazah. Face with a broad smile, you can see the smile on the face, Nurani face, and the crowd like you never imagine. So they asked the son, babe, you know, what was so good in your father that he deserved this type of a janazah? He said, there's two things. Very kind towards people, kind service, this whatever, small, big khidmat. People like to do big khidmat. Small khidmat, nobody likes to do. But small, big khidmat, anything he will do for people. And number two, he never took a cent of riba. Never engaged in riba. 1 cent, giving or taking, no, I'll never do this. Some people are headstrong, say, I won't do this, I'll never do it. Headstrong about it, they'll take all the trouble to see. I need a good passage to the hereafter. تَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ بِسَلَامٍ. What do you need? Will you analyze and try and work out your whole life? What do you want? You want an easy, nice transmission. Transition to the hereafter. You want easy transition, isn't it? تَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ بِسَلَامٍ. Kindness towards people. And the second thing, oh, I'll never take that. And I won't justify if it's a cent or a million cents or billion cents. Haram is haram, I'm not going to touch this thing. He maintained the right till then. And Allah Pak is never inappreciative. If you appreciate, Allah Pak doesn't he appreciate? Won't he appreciate your loyalty? Won't he appreciate your faithfulness in all the fitna, all the corruption, everything carrying on? But you said, Allah Pak, no, no, with all everything that's going on, I hold on to you. وَأَتَسِيمُ بِحَبْلِلَّهِ. I'll never swing things from one side to the other. I'm not going to justify. I'm not going to make ta'wil and make explanations. Haram is haram, halal is halal. Just keep to it. So won't Allah Pak look at you favorably when the whole world is turning around and everybody is looking for opportunities upon opportunities, wealth upon wealth, and you stuck to me, you were so faithful, although you took a big cut, but you held on to me. You think I don't have appreciation. You think I'm not grateful. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala is most grateful. If we can show gratitude, won't Allah Pak show gratitude? So that is the second level of purity. The cleanliness of our limbs, our organs, etc., tongue, eyes, ears. We slipped up, we saw something, and we realized, right? Straight away, make tawbah, istighfar. Don't ever justify. No matter what, how small the guna may be, how big the wrong may be, but Allah Pak has slipped up, I accept. Abu laka bi ni'matika. I admit, I acknowledge that your favors are overwhelming. And also acknowledge that I'm slipping up here. I'm making a mistake. Whether it's small or big, whether it's one word or a whole book of words, but I slipped up, Allah Ta'ala, I accept, I admit I made a mistake. I'm not diluting Islam. I'm not diluting the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm not diluting the Sharia. As it is, I'm keeping it pure. I don't want to dilute anything. So, this is the lesson for this day, that you don't dilute. Just keep it as it were. You made a mistake, come up in front, say, Allah Ta'ala, I made a mistake. Allah, I'm not going to mix up things. I'm going to keep it as it were. And Allah will definitely look at you favorably. All the fitna and corruption and whatever is going on. But you're still so faithful. You're still so loyal to Allah Ta'ala. You think Allah Ta'ala doesn't take note of this. So this is the second level of purity. The third level of purity is the purity of the heart. Right? Just to summarize the purity of the heart. The heart is free of any type of malice. I don't have any ill feelings. In my heart, I don't entertain ill feelings for anybody, bad feelings for anybody. Nor do I have any type of pride and arrogance. Arrogance on one side and malice. I don't entertain lustful thoughts. You know, this woman here should be in my nikah, you know. You begin to entertain those thoughts, fantasize. Fantasize. And this fantasizing, you may be shocked, you know. People come and tell the stories, right? They tell the school day stories, right? Say, she was something, man. Innaha kanat wa kanat.
Now that sometimes the chacha is out of school after 50 years, he still got the memory of that. So he's still entertaining those lustful thoughts about that girl. That girl, she must be married and a granny. Right? Now, you think to yourself, if her husband got to know, right, that you entertaining that thoughts about his wife, will he appreciate that? If your wife and someone is entertaining, so if you're going to entertain evil thoughts about the next person's wife, is he going to appreciate this? Really, this is a disaster. The sins of the heart. People, it's not visible. Because it's not visible, so we take it lightly. As Mawad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says, that my father had sent me to Kanpur. I taught there, you know, because I knew the books. We were quite a wealthy family. But he wanted me to get the kitabs well established. The next 15 years, I need to, he is a mujaddid, as a genius, but he spent another 15 years to ground himself very well. And you get a lot of this ikhtilaf because of this. People come out of the madrasas, they are concerned about grounding the ilm. It's going out. The job becomes imamat, a little bit of bayans, we're looking at kitabs. So then you get a lot of ikhtilaf after that, because the understanding and the knowledge is not grounded very well. My father wanted that I go and ground my kitabs very well, sound. So next 15 years, just the kitabs. So in that Kanpur, there was one old man, and we used to respect him like how we respect our fathers, because he was that age, respecting Abba, do his khidmat, etc. Tahajjud Guzar he used to be. One day, he's telling me, you know what, I'm in love with that one Jewess, you know, those times, English times, so we had all type of people living there. Hey, now I got a shock. What this person was and what he's turned around. See, now that I had some, when I was very young, I had that thought. And now, as he's about passing away, you know, a couple of days before he's passing away, and he says, you know, I still love this girl here. If she's a Jew, I'm a Jew. She's a Christian, I'm a Christian. In that state, the man led his last final days. You see the sensual gunas and how they occupy the hearts.